Reading verse 1 and verse 2. John 21 and 2. Praise God. This is indeed a celebration of the Lord who is living. And I'm thankful this celebration can go on all year round, exalting in our risen Lord and knowing his power to minister to us. Praise God. John 20 and verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid them. It was a multiplication of the problems that they had already faced. They'd seen the horror of the crucifixion. They saw him suffer. They watched as his bloody body was taken down from the cross. Joseph and Nicodemus tenderly preparing it for burial to the tomb, laid there, and then the wedge that held the stone from rolling in its groove into the opening of the tomb was knocked away, and the stone rolled and sealed that tomb. The finality. The stark reality, he's gone. He's dead. Now, while it was yet dark, she comes. Stone's gone. He's gone. She can't quite compute. She doesn't know what's happened. It's dark, but yet light is coming. Praise God. So we'll call it dark, yet light. Ah, thank God for the light. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Now, we know the Lord's actions right from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. We know that the Lord divided light from darkness. He wanted it that way. He wanted creation to reflect the fact that there's light and there's darkness and there's a dividing line. He made it that way. It's natural, day and night, and it's spiritual. And that was the principle that he was wanting to establish right from the beginning. Spiritual separation of light and darkness. The Bible says God saw the light. That's good. Amen. I can just imagine a slight smile and a nod of his head. That's good. Praise God. And when he sees light separated from darkness in your life, I can imagine a smile and a nod. That's good. Praise God. And it's interesting to note, right from the beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Two elements of the new birth, spirit and water. Right from the beginning, the Lord again establishing a principle. This is how you are going to be changed. This is how you're going to be a new creature. This is how you're going to be born again, by the water and by the Spirit. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. There's dynamic change that the Lord can bring into our lives as the darkness is dispelled and the light begins to shine and the blessings that come from the Lord increase in an amazing way. Now, there's many, many examples in the scripture that we could use as far as light and darkness, the day being extended, the hand of the Lord being displayed. Let me just choose David for an example here to show how that the Lord would deliver from darkness. I know we look at the battles of young David, And he himself testified about the bear that he killed when it was attacking the flock, and how he defeated a lion twice. And he took a lamb even out of the jaws of that lion. He wasn't going to sacrifice a lamb to that lion. Amen. Those lambs were for sacrifice to the Lord and lifting him up. And so the reminder that he gave of those defeats, of those victories over that which would come against him. And I would imagine as a young man, he had some fear. He had some trepidation. He had some going on in his mind as he saw the tracks of those predators around his flock. And then when the attack finally came and he realized he had to step in and do something to protect that flock, I'm sure there was something within him that wondered, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how I'm going to defeat them, but I can't let them partake of the flock. And we know the story. He defeated the lion. He defeated the bear. He reminded himself three times as he told Saul about those victories. Goliath stood across the valley. Goliath shouted his challenges. Goliath just spewed out all of his disdain and all of his feelings against the armies of Israel and even the God of Israel. And that's what got David going. You can't talk about my God like that. You can't talk about the armies of God like that. I'll go and fight with him. Amen. Praise God. And he went with this statement, "The Lord will deliver you into my hand. The battle is the Lord's." That's how he made the transition. That's how he was able to step onto the field and gain a victory, because he knew the power of God was there. Was there a darkness? Was there a shadow? Maybe that's what he meant when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. "But he'd fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. "Thy rod and thy staff." Praise God. He, as a shepherd, would recognize the protection that God would have for him. He was anointed king. Samuel looked at each of his brothers and thought, "Surely this one. No, this one. Ah, this must be the one." And finally, all seven brothers passed by, and David, keeping the sheep, was sent for. Samuel anointed David, with his brothers standing around, his father being witness as well. All probably in David's mind thinking, they're more worthy, they're more able, they're the ones that should be recognized. And yet the horn of oil was tipped and the oil spilled down his head as he was anointed David. What an amazing contrast in that passage of Scripture. As the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Oh, what an amazing blessing and power he was able to have from that point on. But in the very next verse, incredible contrast, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Spirit of the Lord came on David. Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. I want to make sure the Spirit of the Lord continues to come, continues to fall, continues to bless. Amen. I don't want to do anything that will grieve the Spirit of God. Don't want to do anything that will quench the Spirit of God. I want the power of the Lord in my life. I want the power of God in this church. I want to see the hand of the Lord continue to be demonstrated. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Tom stood here as we prayed for him. He didn't have the opportunity to testify, but I'll say it for him. He had 1.5% function in his heart. Not 5.0, 1.5, 15% of his heart functioning. But the church went to prayer. The church began to call upon the name. The church began to ask the risen Lord for life and power. Praise God. And Dr. Who took him to emergency 4 times. But God did a work. God showed his power. God brought forth his light out of darkness. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we serve today. Oh, thank the Lord for his power. In the darkness of battle, the Lord and his light continues to shine. That may be why David emphasizes light in his Psalms. Psalm 18 and 28, thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm 31 and 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Psalm 36 and 9, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Praise God. Many more psalms that would emphasize this aspect of light. Thank God, even when it is dark, even when there's disappointment, even when things are not working in the way that we think they should, I'm glad that we can see a light and know that the Lord is going to bring forth his power and demonstrate all that he desires in his light. Amen. Jesus brought light. Even in his birth, the shepherds saw the glory of the Lord shining around them. The wise men followed the star that was shining in the heavens. When they brought Jesus to the temple and we're bringing him before the dedication of the Lord, a man named Simeon prophesied as he held the baby Jesus in his arms, he will be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The work and ministry of Jesus fulfilled that completely. His healing brought joy and light. Lepers were restored. The blind had sight recovered. The paralyzed walked. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord that he is able to do all that he was said in his word. And none of those individuals said, you know, I miss being blind. I miss being crippled. I want to go back to that condition. Oh, no. They rejoiced as the light of God brought power and the difference into their situations. Not only was there healing, but there was forgiveness. The paralyzed man that was let down through the roof was forgiven and then healed. The woman at the well felt forgiveness for her lifestyle. The woman caught in adultery was not condemned, but the Lord told her to go and sin no more. Thank God for the change that the Lord can bring. Thank God for the power that he can display, the deliverance from demons that he can provide. The boy who was trying, the devil was trying to destroy him by throwing him into the fire or into the water. The Lord spoke deliverance. The man from Gadara who had thousands of devils, legions in him, the Lord cast them out. Praise God. And Mary Magdalene, the one we read about in John 20, Mary Magdalene, 7 demons cast out of her. Oh, our God is a God of deliverance. Our God is a God of healing. Our God is a God of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank God for his power. Now, there's no denying the darkness of that weekend. Jesus arrested, the trial that was a farce. Judas, the betrayer, went out from where they were assembled, and it was night, physical night, but night in his heart and in his mind. Jesus before Pilate, before the Roman governor, before King Herod, the trial that lasted all of that night, and then the condemnation that came, the crucifixion that was arranged, and Jesus on the cross. A darkness that Friday that was exhibited in hearts and in actions. The disciples running, Peter's denial, it just was getting darker and darker. The wrongdoing of the religious authorities, Satan's apparent victory. It looked like he had won. 3 hours of darkness in midday. And then death, as darkness descended in the evening. Joseph and Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus that night, and Jesus told, you must be born again. Oh, thank God. Thank God for that revelation. But Joseph and Nicodemus went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. They took it down from the cross. They placed his body in the tomb, and the stone rolled in front of that opening, and darkness enveloped him. What a difficult time for all that were there. Pilate thought he had washed his hands of the whole situation, but there were those who came to him with another request. Joseph and Nicodemus, he requested his body. The Pharisees came with a request, and their explanation, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said," amazing, they didn't call him healer, they didn't call him miracle worker, they didn't call him truth speaker, "that deceiver said, 3 days, I will rise again." Interesting that the enemies of the Lord were the ones who remembered he said he was going to rise again the third day. His followers apparently forgot or wondered, how is it possible? He's dead. He's bruised. He's bloody. He's battered. How can he come to life again? But it was the enemies that said, we better make the sepulcher secure. "Command, therefore," this is their request, "that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first." They were thinking, it's not going to be good, it's going to be false, it's going to be fake. We better make sure it doesn't happen. They wanted the darkness to continue. But oh, when it was yet dark, here comes Mary. Praise God. She came to the tomb early. She had been delivered by his word. She remained devoted even in his death. And in reality, it had been dark since Friday. There had been a darkness that they lived under. There were clouds over their heads in a spiritual sense, wondering, how can we make it through this? The hope and joy that we experienced in him is gone. The healer of body and soul is gone. The one who said he's the resurrection and the life is gone. He demonstrated that resurrection and life, but now he's in the tomb. Matthew's report is pretty sensational, pretty supernatural in terms of what happened. A great earthquake took place. I wonder if it was an aftershock of what happened on Friday. Praise God. An angel, bright as lightning, white as snow, rolled the stone and sat on it. I wonder if he did his hands like that, crossed his arms, just sat there. Praise God. Now, the stone was moved not to let Jesus out, but to let them see in that the tomb's empty. He's gone. He's not there. Praise God. And the angel spoke, "Fear not. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." You know, he's saying, yeah, I know what happened. I know what took place. I know his blood was shed. I know he was on the cross for 6 hours. I know the pain was excruciating. The suffering was horrible. He was crucified. But he's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Praise God. And they departed quickly with fear and great joy. They ran to bring word to the disciples. He is risen. I like the way the angel emphasized it twice. He is risen. He is risen as he said. Amen. In John 2, you know, when he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." After his resurrection, the disciples put those together with his action, and they realized what he was talking about. Thank God we can remember his word. Thank God we can rejoice in his word. Thank God that we can know his power and his blessing again and again. Later on in John 20, on down the chapter, Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb. She comes back, and she wept as she looked into the tomb. The finality was still there. The loss was still immense. The reality of what she witnessed could not leave her mind. The tomb's empty, but where did he go? Where is he? Where did they take him? So she stood there, weeping and looking in the tomb. Suddenly she recognized there's somebody in there. She looked a little bit closer. Two angels in white. Oh, that glow in there must have been amazing for her to see. One at the foot of where Jesus lay and one at the head. Praise God. You look in the Old Testament, you'll get the connection. Praise God. And they asked, "Why weepest thou?" She explained she wept because she didn't know where Jesus was. She's looking for him. She's desiring him. She's devoted to him. She's wanting to minister to him. And then Jesus appeared. She thought he was the gardener. "Why weepest thou? Who are you looking for? Oh, if you could tell me where you've laid him, I'll go and minister to him. I'll take care of him." Mary. Nobody could say her name like him. Nobody can say your name like him. And he knows your name. Ah, he knows what you need. He knows what you've been through. He knows the darkness that you struggle with. And he can call your name. Hallelujah. And make a huge difference in all the situations that you're facing. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. She turned and called him Master. Things happen when you give him control. Wonderful things take place when you turn your life over to him and call him Master. Praise God. Not where you say, "Okay, Lord, you can have a little bit of my life here." No, and you give him the whole book, every chapter, every situation, every problem. Give him the whole thing of your life. Amen. And oh, what light he can bring. What power he can display. What blessings he can provide. Praise God. Mary went to the disciples again and told them, "I've seen him. I've spoken to him." Praise God. And oh, the power of the Lord. Jesus alive. He said he's the light of the world. Now he's a greater light. Now he's a greater force. Now he's a greater power. Praise God. And what an incredible message for the masters. What a wonderful word to the world. What blessing and power that he can provide. His light changing darkness. John accurately wrote it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise God. Amen. The centurion at the cross, the light turned on for him. Truly, this was the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the brightness that he can display. Hebrews 1 and 3 says the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and he purged our sins. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, he's going to destroy the wicked with the brightness of his coming. Oh, I'm looking forward to that moment. Amen. We're going to be changed. Amen. In the twinkling of an eye. And the wicked is going to be changed too. Except he's going to be destroyed. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Because God knows how to deliver from darkness. Colossians 1 and 13. He delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son. The devil brings a darkness into this world. The devil brings despair. He brings depression. He brings debilitation. And his ultimate goal is to destroy. That's why people get addicted to drugs. That's why they drink themselves into a stupor, because the devil wants to destroy. But oh, thank God, the Lord brings light. The Lord brings life. The Lord brings power. Hallelujah. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. And he looks at you as chosen. He calls you royal. Amen. You are holy. You are special. And he called you out of darkness. Come on. I've got marvelous light for you. I've got light that will strengthen you. I've got light that will bless you. Amen. And we can walk in that light even as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Hallelujah. Cleanses us from all sin, so that the devil in his darkness does not have a hold on you, so that you are translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, a kingdom that is a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. You can walk in that power. You can know that blessing. You can be strengthened in his goodness, and the hand of God can continue to be in your life. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Praise God. Amen, Brother Mike. That the last enemy that shall be destroyed, is death. That's how God's going to deal with it. Complete destruction. Not just putting it away for a time and a space. Not just saying, oh, well, we might have some use for you later. No, he's going to destroy it. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I love to look in Revelation. Some of it's hard to understand, but the things I understand, I love to look at them again and again. Amen. God's going to wipe away all tears. There's going to be no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. And the reason is, Revelation 21 and 4 says, there shall be no more death. It's gone. It's destroyed. Life has overwhelmed it. Life has displaced it. Praise God. And in that heavenly realm, it's eternal day. The Lord is the light of it. The Lamb is the light of it. Hallelujah. And we will be in that light forever. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank God that he's able to minister whatever the situation, whatever the need. The devil likes to emphasize the darkness. He likes to make you feel that you're trapped. There's no answer. There's no way to come out of it. There's no way to deal with it. He likes to make you feel like you might as well give up. And oh, I'm thankful. There's an empty tomb. There's an empty cross. Praise God. Amen. And there can be a full heart. There can be a full understanding. There can be a full experience of knowing what God is able to do in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God. Let's stand. What a God of power. What a God of might. What a God of strength. What a God of life and resurrection. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful I know his power. I'm thankful I know his blessing. I'm thankful I know his strength. Praise God. No one like him. And he's able to make the difference. Let's raise our hands and love him together. Han malanini anda katolorobo chandalarabad.